Hallelujah, Jesus. Brother Ragnard was right when he said it. Such a beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I so thank you for joining us here tonight, and I promise not to take up a great deal of your time as long as you're willing to help me preach. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Due to the length of the reading tonight, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and just be seated. And if you have your Bibles, please join me in turning to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just going to talk to you tonight about a subject, and I kind of wanted to kind of go back to my childhood as I get started with this. You know, as a child, and as a lot of young boys, we always had a fascination with fire. I'm not a pyro, but who doesn't like fire, right? Especially boys sneaking in the matches and going out and burning things. But, you know, fire is really cool because you get to heat your body by it. It's warm. It's beautiful. And if you ever have been out by the campfire, as Pastor Roy was talking about earlier, you sit by the fire, you throw some wood on, and you just watch the beautiful flames. You watch the blues, and you watch the ambers, and you watch the yellows and the oranges, and you watch the fire consume whatever it's burning, whatever the fuel is. And hopefully that fuel is some nice pieces of oak, because there's nothing that smells better than some good old oak on the fire pit or on a wood stove. Amen? Except maybe a nice steak sizzling away over some open flames. So tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I'd like to talk to you about my subject, praying fire from on high. Is there anyone here tonight wanting to see more of the power of God in your life? Come on, raise your hand if you want to truly see a greater move of the Holy Ghost in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. In our story tonight, we see Moses is watching over his father-in-law's herd. And I'm not sure if it was due to Jesse's orders or Moses' doing, but the Bible says that Moses ended up at the mountain of God. And if you know the story of Moses, the story doesn't start there, but it goes back when he was a little baby. Moses wasn't supposed to be born. There was a decree gone out by the king to slaughter all the babies, and Moses was snuck into the world. And Moses' mother knew that she couldn't contain him as a secret, so she hid him in a basket and sent him down the river. And he was found by the royal house, and they raised him. But something inside Moses knew. There was something inside him that knew that he was different, and that he was not of the house of Pharaoh. So Moses looked around at his people, God's people, being afflicted. And finally, he had had enough, and he threw one down, and he killed one of Pharaoh's guards. And Moses ran. He ran far into the desert. He ran out into the desert where he met Jesse and his tribe. And Jesse had taken Moses in, and Moses grew fond of Jesse's daughter-in-law, or daughter, Zipporah, and he married her. And Moses is kind of set up at a place where he was just kind of like, just chill mode, right? He kind of had seen some crazy things. He lived a crazy life. But now he's come to the point where he's just like, okay, I'm just going to be a shepherd out here. And the Bible says that he ended up at the mountain of God. I don't think it's any coincidence that Moses ended up at the mountain of God. Amen? The Bible goes on to say that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Have you ever asked yourself what you would do if you're in Moses' shoes? Many times I'm here locking up the church, or for years I've been coming here and working on projects late at night, and you just come and check out things, or maybe you forget something, you come in the church. And there's a lot of times when I'm here and in total darkness, walk by the sanctuary, and I look in and I see, and I've often wondered about this story right here, when Moses had saw the burning bush, and I've often wondered what my reaction would be. Have you ever thought that? What would your reaction be? You see the bush on fire. It's easy to kind of read about it, right? But so the Bible says that Moses said to himself, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So Moses is lured away by this miraculous, awesome sight of this bush that is on fire but is not being consumed. And with his cell phone in hand, Moses videoing away. What? You're not telling the story. The Bible says that God called unto Moses from the midst of the burning bush. Moses. Moses. And he said, here I am. He heard his voice. How many of us are willing to answer the call of God in our lives? To see the great power of God that we're wanting to see. Amen. You're so hungry for more of God, you have your ear inclined right now. Come on, God, call me. I'm here. Is that you, Lord? I'm ready. Amen. And the Bible says that once Moses answered God's call, God called for a separation. As we see in verse 5, that he said, draw not nigh hither. Just wait, Moses. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We are in the world, church, but we are not of this world. There's a calling of separation on our lives. That glorious day that you followed after God's calling in your life, God claimed you as his and expects us to dress like the gang. Amen? You think about the gang, I think about like Harley dudes. When you laugh, but you see them out and about, you know which guys you're talking about because they got the leather chaps on, the leather jacket, the little Harley do-rags and all that. You know them because they have the, and some of those go even further and they identify as a gang. There's certain gangs. I can't remember any of the names. I think one is Hell's Angels who wants to have that gang, but you know there's a group out there that wants to identify with that. Or you can see the military. Thank God for our military. Well, there's different branches in the military. And we look at the different camouflage. Did you know that the different camouflage is indicative of each kind of military? So our National Guard has one kind of camo and so on. Our Marines have a different kind, as they do have their badges and their different salutes and everything. So that's part of a gang. They signed up for that. Praise God. And I'm so proud of them. Proud of Jame and Paul, my good friend. We think about people in gangs. We think about there's gangs out there, Crips and Bloods, and people that try to identify with different groups. You know, these are not godly gangs, or we have our Ford gangs and our Chevy gangs. But we're talking about God's gang here. God has called Moses to be separate, to be holy, to look like, you know, different. So he's on holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That was the affirmation of God's power. Moses, I'm the one who did the miracles in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Everyone from a little child on up had heard the stories. And now it just got real for Moses because God just identified himself. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God wants us to deliver his people, amen? We have a whole city around us full of people in bondage, just like it was in Egypt, God's people in Egypt. There's people living in sin. There's people living in sexual addictions and drugs and alcohol and suicide and depression. And God wants us to reach out to them and to call us. He's called each one of us to reach out to them. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. God hears the cries of the people in this city. He hears the bondage. That's the taskmaster, the bondage of these of alcohol, of sexual addiction, of drugs, of suicide. And such were some of us, amen? I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. Did you know there's many times in the Bible where God used fire to display his power? It's true. In Genesis 19:24, then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven in judgment. In Leviticus 9:24, then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their face. He's a consuming fire, amen? In Revelation 2:18, and the angel of the church of Thyatira wrote, the Son of God, who has eyes like the flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze. Say this. That's a sign of purity. Fire is a sign of purity also. He's a purifying fire, amen? And then we talk about the fire of God's anger in Jeremiah 4:4. Circumcise yourself unto the Lord and remove the foreskin of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because the evil of your deeds. You know, that sounds awfully familiar. We talk about a place called hell, and if you've never heard about hell, the Bible talks about hell. And hell is a place, and eventually that place will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's a place that you don't want to go. And we need to all consider that when we think about it, because the Bible also tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to daily consider and weigh out, okay, God, where am I at? Where am I at? You know, and just continue to be in that relationship with God. Praise God. And then we have the fire of God's word in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore his name, then in my heart it becomes like a fire, burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in and cannot endure it. And then I love this one. We have the Holy Spirit described as fire in Acts 2, verse 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. There comes the rain to put out that fire. As we all know, if you've ever tried to build a fire, you got to follow certain steps. Amen? Have you ever gone out in the woods and you're trying to... can we get a picture of our fire triangle up? We talk about what makes up a fire. We just have something called a fire triangle here. And as you see, in the blue is represented by oxygen. The fires breathe in air. And then the yellow is represented as the heat, and red is the fuel. And you put these three things together, and you have fire. Depending on the quantity of these things, depends on the size of the fire. So there's certain rules to building a fire. I don't know about you, but I used to actually have a wood stove, and I learned real quickly that the importance of burning seasoned wood. And if you don't know what seasoned wood is in here, it's finding wood that is well dried. And it can't be too dry, because you let it go too much, then it just rots and it gets too soft and it burns too quick. But you want to get what's called BTUs. You want to get the most BTUs out of your wood. So you go out in the woods. I had a neighbor who let me cut some wood on his land. And I learned real quickly, there's a tree called a cottonwood and a box elder tree. And they are way more work than they are for BTUs. But it's not long and you find out, hey, the good stuff's in the oak and the hickory. They have a tree called ironwood. That's probably one of the most BTUs in firewood, in case you wanted to know. But you know what? No matter what kind of wood you have, you can't just take it, cut it up, and throw it in the fire and expect to see a great fire. You have to let that wood sit and season, and it has to get just right. So, can we get our second picture? We have our spiritual fire pyramid here. And we have the first one is our fuel. We look at our fuel, we look at the Word of God. Amen? See, we must have. If you want to grow in God, you want to see that fire burning strong in your life, you want to see the passion of God burning, you must have the Word of God in your life. It's so easy to go through your day and to get to the end of the day and say, ah, I'm so tired. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll read tomorrow. God's Word tomorrow. But you can't do that, saints, and have that relationship and have that burning fire that you want to see. God's Word is well seasoned, and it's able to fuel or feed your passion for God. I know we quote this scripture a lot, but in Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You can't use wet or watered down fuel to burn your fire. We can't be giving God our seconds or try to water down this message, amen, and expect Him to blaze in our lives. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, amen. Praise God. We have in Revelations 3, verse 16 and 16, 15 and 16. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Would thou wert cold or hot? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I watched a movie recently. It's called The War Room. Great movie if you've ever seen it. Talks about this lady. She used this example, and she had this other lady over, and she had a cup of coffee, and she went to serve her coffee, and she thought, oh, my relationship with God is okay. And then she brought her out some okay coffee, and the lady spit it out right away. She's like, this coffee's yuck. It's room temperature. She's like, yep. That's how God likes His coffee. He likes it hot, right? So I just love that analogy. Our second piece to our fire triangle is the oxygen. And that is represented because oxygen is a vapor. We want to represent that with the Spirit through prayer. So we have to add oxygen to our fuel. Fire feeds on air, and your relationship with God feeds on prayer. Amen? It's called a relationship. We want, how many of you... It's kind of easy to speak about this to adults. You know, usually I'm talking about it to kids and trying to explain about a relationship. But you know what? How good do you think your relationship would be if you didn't communicate? Amen? It's not hard to figure out. Some of us may have gone through times in our marriage where we've had that, where we've tried to, you know, you don't see each other, and all of a sudden things aren't working out so well, and you just say to yourself, hey, we got to recalibrate. My wife and I just went to a conference down in Illinois, and it was such a great time because we got to get away, and some great people here watched our children, and it was just such a great time for us because we got to reconnect. Thank you, people who took our kids. God, thank you. No, we have great children if they're here. I love my kids. I seriously do. I'm just trying to be funny. But we want to allow the Spirit to move and breathe in our lives, so we must pray. When we don't feel like it, we must pray. When we don't feel like we have time, we must pray. Church, we must pray. It's been said by Lee Stone King. Brother Stone King, he said, how often do you pray? They said, how many hours a day or how much time do you spend in prayer? And he said, I spend 1 hour in prayer a day. And they said, Brother Stone King, what happens if you're busy? Then I spend 2 hours, he said. And I think that's admirable because he wants to put God first. He wants to make sure that he's plugged in and that he's got that oxygen, that prayer just moving in his life. Praise God. And then our third element in our triangle is the heat. And that's represented by fasting. And I'm not going to lie to you, church. I hate fasting. It takes a lot of calories to look this good. I'm just kidding. But it does take a lot of calories to run a ship this big, all right? I'm just saying. And when you starve that ship, it's fuel. Well, you can ask Sister Nicole. Daddy gets a little cranky. So, in Galatians 5:17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We have to pound this flesh into submission. Amen. You have to say, well, maybe you have to say, I can't eat for medical reasons. And that's legit for some people. They have diabetes or whatever. Then you need to find something in your life that you can fast from. And don't just pick something that's like, oh, I'm going to fast from beets because I don't like beets, right? You need to find something that's going to work in your life. Amen. Fasting, the church world is always looking for a secret pill or formula to overcome sin. Man, if you're having problems, or ladies, with sexual sin or alcohol or whatever it is in your life, you want to know what the secret is? Don't feed the monster, all right? I love what my pastor, I don't know if he's in here, Pastor Richard Thomas always says, you got to fast to last. It's so true. You want to last in God's kingdom, you got to fast. You got to tell yourself, your flesh, you got to say, flesh, I want you to get down because you know what? I'm serving God. As the Bible says, as for me and my house and my flesh, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So what is in your life that you're struggling with? Stop feeding it. Pride, anger, lust. We don't feed something, it will die. Praise God. So, another thing is, when we talk about the fire, we talk about fire from on high, but I just want to talk to you for a moment that who the keepers of the fire are. We are the people of the name. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We are a blood-bought, holy rolling, children of the king, and only certain people could hold the ark. Amen. When we look at the ark in the Bible, there was only certain people that were assigned to hold the ark. And there was a very strict consequence that if others tried to hold it, they would face death because they were not worthy. We are the keepers of the fire, and we need to keep that fire burning strong. Church, we are reaching out right now in the last days. We are trying to reach out into this world, and the devil is full bore moving with everything that he has. So we need to make sure that we're plugged in, we are on fire for God, and that we are bringing that into the world. As the song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I want to let it shine in Dane County. I want to let it shine throughout the city of Madison. I want to let it shine. And I want people to look over at Calvary Gospel and Church. And I want them to say, what's going on there? I want them to come by the doors. And that's happened before. We've had people just show up. What's all those cars doing out there on Sunday night? Well, I'll tell you what they're doing. They're in there worshiping God. And they're getting with it. Praise God. God's moving in that church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Holy Roland. Amen. Woo. I've always been fascinated with Bible stories where people have set up altars. Amen. So I look at the story of Noah. Noah. Here's Noah. Here he is. Here's Noah. Obedient to God's word. God called him to do something miraculous. Noah built this great ark. They'd never seen rain before. And God sent the flood. Something tragic happened, but God saved Noah's family. Noah gets off the ark. Noah builds an altar. Amen? In Exodus chapter 32, 5, and you have Aaron who saw this, and he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. In Genesis 12, 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Exodus 17, verse 15. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. Amen. And Samuel 24 and 25. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings of peace. And the Lord was moved by prayer to the for the land. And the plague was held back from Israel. We need to build some altars, amen, some places in our lives where we can go, some places in our lives where we can say, God, here's a fire, here's a sacrifice, something for you to, and God, you know, he loves that because God, the Bible tells us that God sits up there, and the Bible uses phrases like, God sits up there, there's a sweet savor, something smells good in Madison, I'm liking that. So what types of fires can we build on our altar? We can build a sacrifice of faith and a fire of faith. God loves faith. We step out in faith. I read a quote recently that faith moves mountains. And the other part is if you don't have faith, basically you're creating a mountain. All right? So giving, we can create an altar of giving. When we give unto the Lord, God will come down. He'll consume that. That'll create that fire. Hey, it's not me. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. You know, when we give unto the Lord, God uses that. Because giving isn't, he doesn't need our money. It's a sign of us releasing back to him. When we take our money and we give it to the church, we give it to the poor, we give it to the community, we give it to our brothers and sisters who need, whatever we, you know, we find a way to give back. We give it to Tupelo Children's Mansion, hint, hint. You know. We find a way to give back. So God will take it and he'll bless it. He will bless it. Amen. And gratitude. God, just building an altar of gratitude. I can't tell you how many times in my life where I may have hit a dry spot in my prayer life and I'm just not feeling God just quite like it normally does. And I start to build an altar of gratitude. Anyone with me on this? And you start to just think about those blessings. And that blessing may not be a Ferrari, Lamborghini, whatever. No, 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 no. You start thinking about that breath you just took. You start thinking about that job that God blessed you with and that spouse that you have and those kids that you have. And you start to build and something starts to shake and move inside of you. And God starts to create that fire. And next thing you know, you're just weeping and crying before the Lord. Amen. And it's such a beautiful presence of God. Hallelujah. I told you I'm not going to be long, but if we could have our musicians come. And lastly, we want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We look in the fiery furnace. We look at Shadrach. We look at Meshach and Abednego. You know, we talk about this story of these three Hebrew children who were thrown into this fiery furnace. And the fire was driven so hot that every person who got near it, the Bible says that they died because the fire was so great. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you can go into places that others can't. They can't stand it. They can't go in that heat, in that area. But you are a child of God, and you can go in, and you can go in with confidence because God is allowing you to move and allowing you to walk in the Spirit in places that other people can't. See, other people can only dream of getting there, but you know what? It's not by any coincidence, because you've spent that time in prayer. You spent that time building those fires, and God said, okay, I've conditioned you for this. Here we go. We're going in that fire. Whatever that trial is, whatever that situation is in your life, God is going to use you. And you know what? The beauty of it is that when the children of Israel went through that fire, when they went into that fire, there was people looking. And church, I just want to remind you that while we're building our fires, there is a world out there looking, and it's watching, and it's waiting, and it's wondering how are they going to get through the situations that they're going through. When they see Sister Stephanie healed of cancer, when they see Brother Russell healed of cancer, amen, praise God, they're going to come to the church. They're going to come and try to feel some warmth. In our last story, I want to talk about the issue, the woman with the issue of blood. You say, well, there's not really a fire in that story, but you're really wrong if you look at it. See, this woman, the Bible says, was stricken with this disease of the blood for 12 years. And the Bible goes on to tell how she's taken everything that she had, all of her living, and she's paid it out to doctors. Can you fix me? Can you heal me? I'm desperate. I don't know what I'm going to do. She knew what was going to happen if she kept going down the road that she was. There's only one solution for what she had, because she's seen it before. Sometimes you look around and you see other people going through these paths, and your mind says, oh, but you're desperate. So you're looking for any answer, anything you can do. And the Bible says that she found the answer. She found the answer. She found the ultimate fire walking down the street. Amen. And that fire was in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, he's still here amongst us. And he is still purifying. And the Bible says that she reached out. She knew she wasn't worthy, church. But she reached out. And she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped. He'll always stop for you. Amen. And the Bible says that he wanted to know who touched him. And his disciples said, Master, what do you mean? You're amongst this crowd of people. People are thronging about. All kinds of people are touching. No, 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 he said. I felt virtue leave in my body. I want to know who touched me. And Jesus turns and looks at her and he says, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you're facing a situation that seems impossible, you don't know how to get through it. Maybe you've gone away from that fire. You don't know how to get it started again. This altar right here is a good place to start. You just bring it up here and you lay it at the God's feet and you say, God, this is what I have. It may not be much. It's ugly, but this is what I have, Lord. And I want you to take it. And God, we're going to build a fire right here, right now. And we're going to burn this stuff up, Lord. And God, I know it's ugly, Lord God. I'm going to bring my sin up here and I'm going to lay it out before you. But God, you're going to take it. And God, I know you're going to do something great through me, Lord. It is not too late, church. Let's come on down to this altar. Let's lay our cares before the Lord. Whatever it is in your life, God can take it and God can use it. God will move upon you. Let's build some fires. Let's build. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Give him everything. God, we give it to you.
A thousand times I
to the Lord. We give you everything, Lord. Jesus, we give you everything, Lord. What a great God we serve. We love you, Jesus.
Your will we worship above you. All else, still my purpose.
We give you
remains.
Our everything, God.
The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond.
From the end.